The question is he the center of your joy? Yeah, I like that. All that's good and perfect, it comes from him. Amen. We have so much to thank God for today and to worship him because of what he's done and because of who he is. And it's just amazing how that Christ gave so much. And we are yet discovering all that the Lord has done for us. He died, but then he rose again on that third day. And we're grateful today. Amen. You know, I was telling David Walthall when we first came in how excited I was about today. Yeah. Something about this resurrection. Yeah. You know, it's better than Christmas. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, y'all didn't get that. Yeah. You see, on Christmas, the gift was given. Yes. But on Easter, the gift was open. Yeah. Y'all not going to... Jesus, you are the center of my joy. I read something this morning I want to share with you before I get into the text. And it was entitled, Jesus is Placed in the Tomb. And I gave it a subtitle, The Other Side of the Rock. There was a garden in the garden. Was a new tomb. No one had been buried there. Because of the Jewish preparation day, there they placed Jesus, for the tomb was close at hand. And Gerald Horan brings out a couple of points that I think it's very important for us to grasp today. He said, we have each closed many tombs in our own lives. It can seem like a good solution to take our problems and our frustrations and just push them back in a tomb and block them off with an immovable stone. That is the way we avoid many things in our lives that we can't deal with. But that's not quite the meaning of the tomb in this garden. For the Christian, the tomb is both an end and a beginning. Where one story ends, another begins. Mary must have felt great sorrow as closing of the tomb completed the painful passion of her son. With the early Christian community, however, she discovered that the life of Jesus continued. Our emptiness and death, out of that came life. From behind the lifeless rock emerged great power. Like Mary and the early Christian church, we must find the strength to open the tombs that we have closed. We must find new life in the parts of our experience that we have closed off. We must pray that the resurrection power occurs in our private graveyard. Things that we have buried, plans for the future, hopes of tomorrow, the idea of even living right, all of those things we have buried, but because of the resurrection power of Jesus, we can now come from behind that rock. Amen? Amen. Give God a praise today. Our scripture text is written actually by Paul. It's not in the Gospels, but this is how Paul, the apostle, responded to the resurrection of Jesus. More than a historical event, he wrote these words to the church at Colossae. He wrote them so that the believer would know how they were impacted by Jesus' resurrection. Here's what he says. If you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Look at somebody and tell them these words. I've been raised up to move up. Look at somebody else and tell them, I've been raised up to move up. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Ware, for that song, and thank David and Bernard. And we're going to be hearing from Brother Carey in a little bit after the message. But as we look at this text today, if ever was a message that needed to be delivered to the church, it is the one of the resurrection. Not repeating a historical fact, but reminding us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Until you grasp that, you're going to always be hiding behind a rock, making excuses about tomorrow, always saying how life is impossible, and even worse, building your hopes on things on this side of the grave. Your greatest investment is to invest in eternity. Amen. Things down here, they may bring you, oh, so much pleasure, but they will all end in death. Amen. Either it's going to give out or you going to give out. Amen. Do I have any witnesses? Amen. Long before the world and the universe was created, long before God had hung the first star or formed the galaxies, the heavenly host had a meeting. Before they created anything, they gathered together and said, what will be our purpose for everything? On the agenda was the gift of salvation. Many of the hosts asked, why will we need salvation? And God said, well, looking down the eons of time, man will fail. I'll create them in my image, but they're going to turn from me. And so I need a plan to bring them back. And as they discussed the matter, God called up Mercy and said, Mercy, what will you do? Mercy said, I'll abide forever. No matter how many times they fall down, I'll abide forever. Truth said, well, my goal is to make sure that I stand for what's right so that they will be able to know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The question asked, who's going to implement this? Who will carry it out? And Jesus said, I will. How will you do it? I'll give my life so that they might have mercy and they might have truth. And God said, let it be done. Before he created anything, he had a plan in place for you and I. And so as we look at our scripture text today, every one of us would admit that we've all been down. Amen. Let's just level the playing ground and let's let everybody know, whether you broke the law one way or you broke God's commandments and broke his heart another way, we've all let him down. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, what did he do? He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that something? We think nothing of the fact. You know, what you do last night? Man, I had a good time. I got tore up. And now I know some of you ain't been sanctified all your life. What did you do? Man, I tell you what, I just did this and I just did that. And meanwhile, as time rolled on, mercy kept pouring out itself. You may have lived that way, but by the grace of God, you don't have to die that way. Paul has, at this point, arrived at one of those mysteries. And what a mystery really is something that has not been disclosed, it's not been revealed to anyone until a certain time. You might call it pulling back the cover. And so what he does in this verse, he takes the same resurrection, but he applies it to everyone who believes in Christ. He says, you are risen, notice, with Christ. With Christ. Isn't that something? When Jesus got up, you got up with him. He had you and I on his mind, saw us in our graveyard, saw us behind that great stone of impossibility, saw us behind that stone of doubt and rebellion. And God said, I'm going to raise you with me. When I get up, you're going to get up. Miss Campbell, they had a rule in our house. If Daddy got up, everybody else better start rolling. You couldn't hang around and say, I'm going to sleep in. Wasn't that part of our vocabulary? So what do we need to look at as far as salvation? What is it that God is doing in this process? First, he's delivering us from something. From something. All of us were living, but we were really dying of the same dreaded disease called sin. Sin. God being a holy God, he couldn't be unholy. And so what Jesus did, he said, I'll go down there. Well, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll be born of a sinless birth. The Holy Spirit conceived Mary, what we call that holy seed, the immaculate conception. He was born of a virgin. And so, well, how did that happen? Nobody else did it. God can do whatever he wants to do. Doesn't need your approval. Amen. Doesn't need your support. Amen. But that's God. That's what he does. And so we had gone astray because of that sin nature, because of our rebellion against God. But God said, you know what? I'm going to deliver you from something. I'm going to take you out of your darkness, and I'm going to move you out of that transgression. And, you know, the thing that puzzles me is how in the world can we have so much fun in something that's so deadly? Y'all shaking your head. You say, but God is amazing. He's amazing. But then the other part of it that we'll bring out, he delivers us to good. He delivers us from something in order to bring us into something. That's what he does. And that's where we insert our scripture text, risen with Christ. You recall the children of Israel when they were in bondage. They couldn't get out of Egypt. Neither could you get out of your sin. Neither could you get out of your negativity. Neither could you deliver yourself from the bondage of your own mind. I'll never be anybody. I'll never get anywhere. I'll never do anything. What does Christ do? He raises us. When he got up from the grave, it meant something. It didn't mean just an historical fact of what had happened. Jesus is risen. Paul says we are risen with Christ. Everybody say, with Christ. With Christ. When you're with somebody, it begins to speak of something that's different. But we weren't just delivered from something. I'll give you the case in point of Abraham. God wanted Abraham not to be in an environment that was unhealthy. So he told him, Abraham, you've got to get out from among your people. Go to the place where I will appoint for you, and I'm going to give you the promised land. More than just getting out of the negativity, God had to bring him into what's known as the promised land. But the promise didn't stop with that. God said, now through you, I'm going to bless every family that's on the face of the earth. May I tell you today that on this Resurrection Sunday, you and I are celebrating that gift that God had given through Abraham, that promise that he had made to him. We are here because Jesus rose, and not only did he rise, but you got up with him. And you say, well, why did I do all the stuff I did? Because you were hanging out with the wrong folk. You know, I did what I did because I was hanging out with her mama. Said, who got you drunk? I said, I got my own self, but I was with them. Pastor, you used to do that? Yeah. Well, thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God. So in the deliverance, what we're talking about is that God moves you from something to something. Coming out from behind the rock of our difficulties, coming out from behind the rock of our situation, we are raised with Jesus to walk in newness of life. Now, I don't know about you, and I've said this before. You know, people have problem with tithing, problem with giving to the church. I gave more to the world. I'd spend I don't know how many hundreds of dollars and then get up feeling bad. Oh, God. Oh, what in the world is going on? Now I get up and I'm feeling good. And if I don't feel good, I can pray to him and get my healing. That's why I give. That's why I love the Lord. Because of his salvation and because of his deliverance. Notice also in the word salvation is the word salvage. Salvage. You know, and when you think about that, you think about, of course, Fred Sanford. Remember him? Yeah. Sanford and Son. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And he would go out and he would look for junk. But now here's the amazing thing. When Jesus pulls you from your personal junkyard, he doesn't leave you as junk. somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Boland, can I tell you that when he found me, I was rusty, I was messed up, but then he got to working on me. Yeah, he took out the old stuff, gave me a brand new heart, gave me a new way of walking, gave me a new way of, can I preach? I'm talking about risen with Christ. When you are raised with Christ, you don't do the things you used to do. Because the Lord is with you. Because he's with you and he's working in your life to transform you. I stopped by a garage many years ago and I asked the guy what he was doing. He said, I'm restoring this car. He said, when I found it, it was just there. But then I had to salvage it. I had to get it out of the junk. Get the rust off. What's God doing in your life right now? He is salvaging you and he's restoring you. How many of y'all look a little bit better than what you used to? How many of you feel a little bit better than what you used to? How many of you walking a little bit better than what you used to? How many of you don't have that same conversation that you used to have? Ain't around talking jive and lying and carrying on. Amen, somebody. But you're able to live because you are raised with Jesus. I feel like preaching today. When you begin to look at the wonderful works of God and what he's doing in you, Paul says we are risen with Christ. Risen with him. What does that mean, preacher? That we are brought out of something. I love this verse in Psalm 40 in verse 2. He said, he brought me out of a horrible pit. Out of a horrible pit. But then what did he do? He set my feet upon a rock. Isn't that something? You know that Jesus was called a rock? Did you know that? Did you know that he is a rock in a weary land? Did you know that he's a shelter in the time of storm? You and I have solid ground that we can stand on now because he delivered us from something and delivered us to something so that we are now raised with Christ. Amen. When we think about that risen with Christ, first of all, the relationship. Notice the relationship with Christ. with Christ. All of us love to be around cool people, right? We ain't want to be around somebody, you know, they want too cool. They want, you know, what we might call popular folk. We want to be around somebody that was important. I remember this time they had a program. I think it was the Boys and Girls Club. And Andrew Young was the guest speaker. And so, you know, everybody else thronging around Andrew Young. I had on this nice, colorful tie that I had on. And Andrew Young turned the corner, saw the tie. He said, "My man." I said, "My man." He shook my hand. We took pictures, you know. I'm hanging out with Andrew Young. And because I'm around somebody, that makes me somebody. Because you're around Jesus, that makes you somebody. You're not the old person. You're a new person. Touch somebody and tell them, "I'm a new person." And even if you thought you know me, you don't know me now because I'm hanging out with somebody. Ah, yes. Risen with Jesus. Paul says, now, you have been hanging out with a lot of the wrong influences. It's been directing you and getting you into, man, these flowers talking up here. I'm just saying. Woo. My nose running like a washing machine. Yeah, boy, but we'll be all right. It'll be all right after a while. Look, it's about telling amen, amen, amen. Risen with Christ. Paul saw the influences. He saw the things that was impacting our lives. And he said, now, when you are risen with Christ, it is a new relationship. As you join with him, your conversation begins to change. Your destination begins to change. And have you ever noticed how funny you feel when people start cussing around you? You used to didn't pay attention, you know. People swearing all around you. Now you don't got saved, man. You can't. Like somebody done cut you, you know. And you gravitate from them because you're not a part of them. It doesn't mean you're better. It means you're different. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Hanging out with Jesus, going where he goes, is going to change your company. The folks that used to, you know, come around you all the time, they ain't got much to do with you now. He said, "Man, so-and-so, he don't come around my house no more. Because he doesn't like what you like." He sees the change in you. And so they avoid you because they're not ready for it. But oh, if they knew how good God was, if they knew how wonderful he is. Matter of fact, I'm going to get to it in just a minute. I'm about to run out of time. Amen. About to run out of time. But not only does it change your relationship, it changes your position. You're in a bad position. You're in a bad place. You know, and position means everything in life. In the economic world, if you're not positioned right, if you don't have your assets in a certain place, you can actually lose money. Are y'all with me? I'm not just talking to some of the economic folk, you know. Y'all got that. You got to leverage it. Am I right, Rod? All right, so you got to leverage your assets. But here's the point. You didn't have any. You were spiritually bankrupt. But the moment you got to be with Jesus, what he had now became yours. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. We are heirs with Christ. Now, wait a minute. Heirs, that means somebody had to die. Well, he did die. And after he died, rather than him keeping everything, he said, "You know what? I got so much love. I got so much goodness. I'm going to give it to anybody that asks for it." Oh, some of y'all, and watch this. He was also filled with the Spirit. But when he rose again, he said, "You know what? The Spirit kept me, walked with me, talked with me. I'm not going to keep the Spirit to myself. I'm going to give it to somebody else." Oh, y'all, I know y'all ain't listening now. Because you don't want the Spirit controlling you. You don't want Him telling you how to live. You want to do your own thing. Go on with your nasty self. But if you just had Jesus, He could change that old nasty attitude you got. Yeah, He will. Yeah, He will. So our new position, our new resurrection position, means that we're living with Christ, and that where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I looked at those verses many times. I said, what in the world does that mean? Positionally, you are in heavenly places right now. Your mind is elevated to a new level. You don't think the same. You don't act the same. As I said, you are now leveraged with a new position so that you can make better decisions in this life. That's deep. I know it is. The only point I'm trying to tell you is, since Jesus now has control of your life and you're with Him, you can't go where you want to go. He's not going to stand by and let you destroy your life, because you know what He's going to do? He's going to snatch you up. Amen. Are y'all still here? Yes. How many of y'all ever had God to jack you up? Yes. If my grandma said, you fitting to show yourself. And God said, it ain't happening here. He will block your path. And He will make sure that you make the right decision at the right time. But we have a new riches also. I read this verse, and it simply says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. All right, now, you've been raised up, but now you got heavenly riches. God is telling you that the silver and gold of this earth is of very little value in heaven. As a matter of fact, they paved the streets up there with it. They build the walls and things like that. They don't carry it around in their pockets. Some of y'all saying, if I could just have some more money, let me trust in the Lord. He's going to make me rich. Every single thing that you will gain in this life, you will leave it right here. I've been to a many memorial services. I've never seen a storage box or a treasure chest buried with the individuals. When they left, it was just them. Matter of fact, I went to one funeral many years ago, and the people, instead of them standing around crying, they were doing like this. Man, it's all over now. He didn't spend that money while he was here. And we're going to take it now. Amen. But what happens after that's gone? Paul says, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits. So what are the things we have to look at? I'm going to bring this to a close. What are the things that we need to look at when we talk about being delivered from something and to something? Because the resurrection should impact you. You should not leave out of this Easter service the same way that you came in. You should be excited about God. You should be excited about living for His glory and for His kingdom. So what is it that you need to have? First of all, you need to seek. You need to seek. He said that's your responsibility. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where He sits at the right hand of God Almighty. Just seek heaven. People are seeking after a lot of things in this world. Fortune, fame, power. How long is it going to last? Not very long. You can amass many things in this world, but then inflation comes in. That's that new economic term, or that, not really new. Inflation just comes in and eats up everything you've got. But when you got Jesus, it's inflation free. Can't touch it. Cannot diminish it, not one bit. What if everybody sought God? What a difference it'd make in this world. So my admonition, my encouragement to you is that you would seek those things above. Now, I didn't say that you didn't need things of this world. Don't say, well, Pastor said, we don't need money. I ain't tell you that. I ain't say that. I said, don't seek it. Here's the point. If you seek him, he'll give it to you. Do I have just a few witnesses in here that you've been dead broke, didn't have a dime, but then God provided because you believed in him? You wasn't seeking the money, but you got the money because God is good. Can I get a witness in here? So when you seek him, when you're after God, when you're thirsting after him, when you're thirsting for righteousness, he fills you. But the second thing is to set. Seek. But then he says, set your affections on things above. I'm gonna throw my wife under the bus. She ain't looking. My wife loved to shop. And why she loved to shop? Because she set her affection on the thing. And I said, what you looking at? See this dress? I ain't, don't look pretty. And I said, well, I don't know. Just a dress, you know. Oh, man, I'm really going to get it now. So she looking out the window. That's okay. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to be bold. But you get the idea of setting your affection. What if I set my affection on, let's say, flowers? What's going to happen to the flower? It's going to fade. It's going to die. If you set your affection on things of this world, you're going to find out sooner or later that it's limited. It can only satisfy you so much. It can only give you so much because it in itself is limited. But when you set your affection on God Almighty, he's unlimited. And then he says to you, now, whatever you need and whatever you want, I can provide it. If you're weak, I can give you strength. If you don't know what to do, I can give you wisdom. Anytime you set your affection on things of this earth and it captures your mind, it captures your emotions, it captures your attention, sooner or later it's going to capture your worship, and you have made an idol out of something that God said is just a natural thing. Are y'all listening to me? We have more idols in our lives today than ever before, and we're worshiping them rather than doing the simple thing of putting our affection on God. How do you do that? Wake up in the morning and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Start singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Start worshiping God. And guess what? He will cause these things to be a blessing to you rather than to be a setback. Are y'all listening to me? You got to set your affection on things above. But then the last thing he says, separate. He said, where is that, Pastor? It's in the last verse. He says, you are dead. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. But Colossians 3:3 says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know why we put away people that have died? Because they can no longer participate in the things of this world. They've transitioned into a new awareness, into a new life, and they cannot, you know, they can no longer talk to you. They can't walk with you, can't keep you company because they are gone. But just because they are gone doesn't mean that they don't have an existence. That's why I love to preach funerals, because I can tell people about the other side. I can tell people that there's something else to life rather than what you're looking at down here. And Paul says, you as a believer, while you're living here, you ought to act like you're dead when it comes to sin. And you ought to act like you're alive when it comes to God. Rather than doing the bad stuff, you ought to say, Lord, I'm just so thankful to live for you. As a matter of fact, because of you and me being raised up, I used to do this, but thank God I'm going to do something else today. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to live a risen life in Christ because the Lord has lifted me up. And, you know, as I close this message and as I go to my seat, I'm thinking about people who are living in the bondage of the tomb. They buried themselves. They put themselves there by what they've done and what they believe. But what I'm going to challenge you to do today is to get to the other side of the rock. Roll away that stone. Stop saying to yourself, I can't get out and I can't do this. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. And what I want to invite you to do is to lift up your head and to start saying, today is a new day. If Jesus takes me by the hand, I'm going to get up. If he comes into my life, I'm going to rise above this situation. I'm no longer going to live a downward life. I'm looking up. I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you today, may I make the declaration today, you don't have to live in your past. You don't have to live in the stuff that's behind you. It's a brand new day. God has called you to live today. And if I were you, and I'm not you, but if I were you, I'd say to myself, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up from this situation. I'm going to rise above what people say about me. You can talk about me what you want to, but I'm going to live for Jesus because I'm walking with him every day. I'm living for the Lord. You and I have been raised up. We have to make that decision now. Because of you, Lord, I'm going to live that resurrected life. I want to invite somebody. Will you join me as we follow him? Will you join me on this Resurrection Sunday of saying, Lord, I've had enough of the world. I want my life to represent something. I guarantee you, if you will say that, the Lord will redeem you. He'll call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Maybe you're listening online and you've heard this message. And you say, what in the world is that preacher ranting and raving about? I'm talking about the most exciting thing that ever happened to this planet Earth. When Jesus got up from the grave, he raised you up. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, neither do you. But I tell you one, I know the one who holds tomorrow. I know that as Mahalia Jackson said, he got the whole world in his hands. Trust in him. Believe in him. And know that he is your resurrected Lord and that you're walking with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your kindness that you showed us. Lord, you could have left us in our sin. You could have left us in our rebellion. But instead of doing that, you raised us up. Now we are the children of God because you love us. And I thank you, Father, for just blessing and moving in our lives that we might trust in you. Help us now that we might continue to follow you and to receive of your power and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As I give the invitation today, I'm sure that all of you have probably watched the news and you see how that in the Baltimore Harbor, the bridge came down. And now they're trying to get the experts in to figure out how they can get that bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, back in place. It's important to the region. It's important to people traveling back and forth. But as I look at that bridge going down, there's another bridge. Bridge between God and man. Broken. Sin ran into it. And it came tumbling down. Someone asked, who's going to fix the bridge? Jesus said, I'll do it. When he got up on that cross, they hung him high and stretched him wide. And he became our Savior. But may I also say in the words of that contemporary song, like a bridge over troubled water, he said, I'll lay me down. He took your sins and my sin. He said, now you can get to God. You can get to God. If there's anyone today, there's anyone that's lost and down, we invite you to accept this Lord that he might raise you with him. Let's all stand.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was.
Is there one?
I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time.
For those that are online, you can't come in here, but you can correspond with us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com. Let us know where you are in your journey, and we'll try to help you grow and walk with Christ. Those that are in here, you made your decision about Christ. We invite you to come forward, if there be one.
So you made a way across the grave.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Left behind heaven's throne. Build it here inside, and there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time, I have hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Place,
yes,
laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. 'Cause I have been transformed by the power.
Thank you, David. Thank you. As we prepare to close our service today, we will be lifting the offering as you go out. But I also wanted to mention that someone lost some earrings downstairs. And they were in this little pouch. So if you want to claim them, you may. If you don't claim them, I'm going to wrap them up. I ain't lying. And come Mother's Day. Amen. But anyone that want to claim these, you may do so. They'll be here. They'll be here. Brother Kerry Herndon is going to come and bless us now with a harmonica selection. And I pray that it'll bless your heart. And then Brother Joe is going to come and bless the offering as we prepare to go out. Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. Amen.
Let us all stand. You know, as the pastor was preaching the message, I couldn't help to think that Jesus is risen, right? But he died. And when he went down, guess who else he noticed, he informed that he is risen? The demons. They know that he is risen. So, which means that the message that we have heard today, do not allow yourself to live here without trusting Christ, because even Satan knows that he is risen. So we need to take advantage of the opportunity and trust Christ. Father, today we are so grateful that you have given us an opportunity, Lord, to present our gifts to you. You are not asking, oh God, for what we cannot afford, because you have given us all things. But you want us, oh God, to give freely from our heart, knowing fully well, dear God, that you have given us life by coming out of this grave and giving us the Holy Spirit to direct us, to direct our thoughts, to direct our actions, so that, oh God, we can present these gifts with honesty, so that you can bless not only us, but those, Father, who have not yet said yes to Christ, so that these gifts may be able to reach them. Thank you for this privilege of giving. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for this message. May we not live here without trusting, without believing, so that we can carry out that message of hope to those, dear Lord, who are dying without it. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let the church say, he is risen. God bless you.